And I just want to reflect back on some of those concerns that I mentioned that therapists have. The fear of judgment and the fear of being exposed and how that can impact you. Because I just want to hold up my hand here and say I am not immune to those sorts of feelings either. And I definitely get moments. It might come up because I've compared myself with someone and I can spend time, you know, going over posts again and again and again. Welcome to Good Enough Counsellors, the podcast for growing a private practice without the pressure to be perfect. I'm Josephine Hughes, counsellor and creator of Therapy Growth Group, helping you get the clients you want and create the practice of your dreams. Welcome back to the Good Enough Counsellors podcast, and we are going to continue with a theme that I touched on last month. It was to answer the question, what can I do? Because I'm mainly getting therapists who are following me on social media. And while it's great to get therapists following me on social media, because they're often the people who will make referrals to you, it's also really helpful to reach out to clients as well and have potential clients follow you. So that's the subject of this little mini series I'm doing on social media at the moment. And what we talked about last time was a little bit about language. And I said I'd revisit the subject in this episode. So just a little reminder of what we said the last time, which is that being on social media can feel quite challenging. We can feel quite exposed. And if we've got mainly therapists following us, we can also worry about whether or not we're going to be judged. And are we being professional enough? Are we being ethical enough? And what happens is that tends to tighten us up a little bit. We tend to feel a bit less relaxed and we might begin to move more into professional type of language, especially as the people who are following us, if they're therapists, we speak the same language as them. We communicate. We know what things like attachment theory is, for example. So we might use some of those words and phrases that are familiar to other therapists. But the problem with that is it can actually distance us from our potential clients. So last time we talked a little bit more about trying to move away from that professional sounding language. But what I really wanted to talk about for this session is to think about not just the actual words, but the tone behind what we're saying. So the really important thing that I'd like to communicate in this episode is it's not just about the words we use, it's also about the emotional experience of the people who are reading what we're saying. We're going to have a little think about how we can create connection rather than distance with what we say. And a little reminder, as this is my social media episode that's coming out in February, I will be referring to social media awareness dates that are coming up in March at the end of the episode. So if you need ideas, stay tuned for the second half of the episode where I'll actually share some things that you could be talking about in March. But one of the things I was doing when I was thinking about this episode is I spent a little bit of time thinking about what it is that I hear from therapists when they talk about their social media and trying to post on social media. And I summarize it in that I think a lot of people can feel very discouraged. It can feel like, you know, you're turning up, you're publishing stuff and it isn't really making any difference. And you don't know really if it's reaching people at all. And alongside that, you can also feel quite self-conscious because being public, it isn't really something that many of us ever set out to do. I certainly feel like this. I'm really happy being in my own little space and opening that up to some clients who want to use that space. But beyond that, it can feel very exposing. And I think being on social media, especially at the moment, and especially on platforms like Facebook, you can feel very exposed, and that, you know, if you say anything that's in the slightest bit controversial, you'll get bots and people arguing with you in the comments section. And more on that later. I'll tell you a little story about that. But that is sort of something that I think many therapists worry about that feeling of being exposed on social media, and frankly, not really wanting to bother with it. Well, why should we? And so trying to put yourself on social media for the sake of reaching clients actually can feel quite daunting, and I do get that. But I think part of the problem is that we can become a little bit careful, perhaps over careful, and perhaps a little bit defensive, and that can leak through in the way that we're writing, in that it can come across as a little bit stilted, a little bit formal. And we're sort of holding ourselves back. We're not risking ourselves. And I think any relationship does involve some risk, doesn't it? We cannot be entirely safe. If we were to be entirely safe, we probably wouldn't ever reach out to people. I was just thinking about this yesterday because my poor little new kitten ended up at the vet because he'd eaten something he shouldn't. I was so desperately worried about him. Had to leave him at the vet's, and as I was driving back, I was thinking, this is the price of love. You know, you get worried about people, you get worried about your pets. And that's relationships, isn't it? That's the other side of love, is that there can be pain alongside it. And I think sometimes, maybe, I hope this isn't overstating the case, but it can actually feel like that a bit on social media. I hasten to add, actually, that my little cat is completely recovered now. They got it out. It wasn't very nice, but they did actually get what he'd eaten out. Anyway, let's carry on. I think the thing is that often you can do things like I've just done, which is to self-disclose a little story. It tells you a little bit about me, but not a huge amount about me. And that can instantly create a sense of connection. And if you think about social media, what is the reason why people go on social media? The clue is in the name. It's social. And I think people often are craving connection. They do want to find people who understand them and perhaps who are just like them as well. And I think with our choice of what we talk about in our posts and the way that we say things, we can either create connection or we can keep people at arm's length. And I think if we keep people at arm's length, they're not going to come back. They really want stuff that they can connect to. And the thing about it, and this is what I've noticed time and time again, if I do a post that resonates with people, that they can recognise themselves in, I will get a lot of people responding to that post, and that makes the post go further. So it is about creating an impression of the sort of therapist you are, the sort of person that you are, and doing that by being very real and human and trying to convey that in what you choose to talk about. So it does involve a little bit of risk. But what I've found over time is that the fears that I have about things like, will people attack me? Will I get a lot of criticism? To be honest, they really aren't borne out by experience. Recently, what I've been doing is I helped to run the Not In Our Name Women social media Facebook page. And that is quite a controversial subject. What we're doing with the Not In Our Name Women is we're seeking women who agree with inclusivity of transgender people, who are arguing that the real causes of violence against women and girls are not transgender people, but calling attention to the fact that it's male violence against women and girls. And you can imagine that that message is actually one that often isn't welcomed, especially in the controversial times in which we live. And so I am managing a lot of the responses that we get. And a little thought for you here, because it can be quite difficult managing those responses. You do get a lot of bot responses. You do get a lot of critical responses. But what helps me to balance it and to understand it is that actually we get a thousands of people who actually agree with our message. They may not stop and actually leave a comment, but they're showing us that they agree with us, A, by signing our petition, and B, by quite often liking the post. And when I've looked at it, you know, we might get maybe 100 critical comments, but we'll get over 1,000 people actually supporting the post. And then when you think about that, you realise actually that there's so much more to the story than what appears to be on the surface. I don't think as a therapist you would get that amount of difficulty. And if you do, you know what? If it starts being really awkward, you can do lots of things. You can hide the comments, you can block people, but you could also turn comments off. It's absolutely fine. What I've noticed recently is I did a post about accreditation. And if you talk about accreditation, that is something that lots and lots of therapists have very, very firm views on. And it's quite a controversial subject to talk about. And it really did bring a lot of comments to my social media. And I just let people get on with it. I let them discuss it amongst themselves. And you'll often see this when you, if you follow people, if you follow, we could call influencers in inverted commas. I don't like to think of myself like that. I don't think I've got a big enough following. But influencers will often, they'll just put out whatever it is they're saying. And then they don't engage with the comments. They just let people comment on it as they see fit. And that's what I did in that particular post about accreditation. Because, I mean, honestly, there was so much conversation going on. There wasn't really the chance for me to keep up with it. So it's really interesting how you can manage your comments. So that's a little aside, really, to help you if you are worrying about, oh, what do I do if I start getting a lot of comments? But coming back to language, what I'd really like to mention is somebody I saw recently, and I just thought this was a really good example of a post that gives emotional connection. And this was from Paula. Hello, Paula, if you're listening. Paula Bailey Counselling. Paula specialises in helping clients who've got transgender children. So Paula's been a member of Therapy Growth Group, and so I tend to follow her posts. And she did a really lovely post the other day. And this was about why she actually works with parents of transgender kids. And Paula just simply explained that she's got her own transgender child. That means that she understands a lot of the questions that parents might have, and that parents feedback to her that it's invaluable to work with her because she does have that lived experience. And the way that Paula wrote it, it was very much getting alongside parents. It wasn't superior in any way. And she's obviously happy with that level of self-disclosure. But it really spoke to me because it came across as very honest, very open, very grounded. And it was getting alongside parents. And so sometimes using something like that, using some of your lived experience, can be really helpful in order to connect with people. The story basically didn't feel like it was teaching. It just felt as though it was relating. And that's what I'm trying to get at. You're trying to build a relationship with clients. People will often say, oh, you know, I've started social media, and they're really hoping that they'll get clients straight away. But quite often what can happen is that when people find you, they'll follow you for a while because they're thinking about therapy. They don't even know if they want therapy yet, but they'll follow you, and just following you over time can help them decide whether or not they do want therapy and whether or not they actually want to work with you. So it's really building up a following where people are considering you. And just because you do 3 or 4 posts and they don't seem to produce clients, don't let that put you off. Because what you're doing, it's like any relationship. You're building a relationship of trust, and trust takes time. You might get someone who finds you and books in straight away, but I'd say it's much more common for people to follow you for a while. Or maybe even they might check you out on your social media if they found you somewhere else, if you've been recommended, or they found your website, or they've seen you in one of the directories and then looked you up. So it's really important just to carry on, just showing people who you are, because that really does make a difference over time. If you're consistently you over time, that really does speak to people. And I just want to reflect back on some of those concerns that I mentioned that therapists have. The fear of judgment and the fear of being exposed and how that can impact you. Because I just want to hold up my hand here and say, I am not immune to those sorts of feelings either. And I definitely get moments. It might come up because I've compared myself with someone and thought they're just really rocking social media and they're so much better than me. Or it might be, you know, I've become worried about, is this too extreme an opinion? Have I said it wrong? And I can spend time, you know, going over posts again and again and again. And those posts don't tend to work very well. Whereas the ones where I'm just honest and I'm me and I'm not doing it so much to sort of promote myself as much as to connect with people. That really does tend to make a difference in the outcome. When I'm genuinely looking to connect with my followers, to show them that I understand them, that I get it, that I'm not perfect, I understand how hard it is, that often resonates the most because it helps people to know that they're not the only one who feels like this. And that's often what we're looking for from our social media, is we're really trying to get that feeling of belonging. So when you're thinking about your language, it's not just the words, it's actually the tone as well. And now what I'd like to do is mention in passing that in Therapy Growth Group, we've got a simple roadmap. It's really confusing and overwhelming when you first start out on marketing your private practice to actually know where to start. So recently in Therapy Growth Group, I've created a roadmap. And where we are in the roadmap at the moment is helping people to find their focus. One of the things that can happen is you have a bit of a scattergun approach and you try lots of different things. It can really help to focus on who it is that you're actually trying to speak to. Because when you've got an idea of that, that can really inform what you actually say. And coming up in Therapy Growth Group over the next month is the Find Your Focus section of the roadmap. We're going to be working through this together, culminating in March with the Make Your Profile Work intensive week, and that's coming up. And if you join Therapy Growth Group now, you'll be able to join us in this round of the Make Your Profile Work. I only do this 3 times a year, so now would be a really great time if you've been thinking about joining Therapy Growth Group to join in the next week. I'd love to see you there. Please just check out the show notes or go along to josephinehughes.com to read more about it. And now I'm going to quickly run through some themes for March to help you if you're a bit stuck on what to say on your social media. And as usual, what I've done is picked out 4 key themes, looking at some of the different dates that are coming up. So the first theme I'm going to talk about is all about safety, harm and being believed, because the 1st of March is Self-Injury Awareness Day, and the 2nd to the 8th of March is No More Week, which is where we're saying no more violence, no more abuse. And on the 24th, it's the Right to Truth Day. So I think you can tie these themes together to speak to people about what it's like not to be believed, what it's like to begin to think that you are wrong in your head. We all know the result of what it's like when you've been gaslit, and how you can emphasize that therapy is a place where you're really listened to and you can actually tell your own truth and be believed. So that's the first theme, the idea of safety, harm and being believed. The second theme is something that's coming up quite a lot throughout March, and that's to do with identity, visibility and inclusion, because we've got International Women's Day on the 8th of March. That comes up same day every year. It's always a really big day on social media. We've also got Neurodiversity Celebration Week, and that's from the 16th to the 20th. And then on the 31st of March, it's Transgender Day of Visibility. And just in passing, hopefully I'll be bringing out a brand new podcast on that day, on the 31st of March. Got to get it all done. I'm not making any promises, but keep an eye out for it because it's coming up. But in terms of what you could do, it's really about recognising the need to include people with different identities, about accepting people as they are. So you might really want to focus on accepting people and building them up in who they are during the whole of March. Obviously, if you're someone who works with neurodivergence, then the Neurodiversity Celebration Week is obviously a really important week for you. Theme three is about rest and well-being, because the 13th of March is World Sleep Day, and the 20th of March, hooray, it's the spring equinox. I'm recording this on a very wet day. Fortunately, it's not raining at the moment, so we're not getting the sound of the rain pattering in the background, but it's been raining all morning. So hopefully the weather will start getting better, because obviously it's the clocks moving forward as well at the end of the month. You might want to mention that. But also the 20th is the International Day of Happiness. So you might want to be focusing on that, thinking about seasonal affective disorder, the fact that things are beginning to change, and how therapy can support you during the glum months, but also support you as you begin to find a bit more energy. And then theme number four, I've called that care, connection and unseen roles. If you work with carers, it's Young Carers Day on the 11th of March. The 17th of March is World Social Work Day, and the 19th of March, I think this is probably quite a good one for us, it's Clients Day. So we could do something to celebrate clients on Clients Day on the 19th. But just thinking about, you know, you could try and maybe reach out to social workers, you could try and reach out to young carers, you could reach out to anybody in the caring professions. It doesn't have to be social workers or young carers, because you don't actually have to say, oh, today is World Social Work Day. You can literally just use it to, as a reminder, to do something for carers. But if taking the viewpoint that people who are carers are often doing a lot for other people and they don't have time for themselves, but therapy can really support them. And you could address the problems that many people have, such as, you know, I haven't got time to look after myself. You know, other people's needs are more important. You could unpack that a little bit for people. And that could be something that you could do throughout the whole month if you're thinking about those sorts of people, if those are the sorts of people you like to reach, unpacking why self-care, for example, is really hard for those of us who are very caring. So hopefully that will have given you a few ideas for March. I'll be back at the same time this next month. So this episode is coming out on the 12th of February. And in a month's time, I will do the dates for April. I love February because it's so easy to remember when the dates are in March. It'll be the same date in March, March the 12th. And we'll also cover a bit more about why clients are finding you on social media. And we're going to talk about reach and growth. Okay, I look forward to seeing you next week, where I've got another brilliant interview coming up. Really excited about this one, so listen out for it next week. Bye for now. Thanks for listening. Do come and join my Facebook community, Good Enough Counsellors. And for more information about how I can help you develop your private practice, please visit my website, josephinehughes.com. If you found this episode helpful, I'd love it if you could share it with a fellow therapist or leave a review on your podcast app. And in closing, I'd love to remind you that every single step you make gets you closer to your dream. I really believe you can do it.